Welcome to the ITM Podcast with Steve Perrault and Joey Cabrini.
This is episode 187 of the ITM Podcast presented by SeatGeek. We are the unofficial podcast of your Boston Red Sox. My name is Steve Perrault. His name is Joey Cappone. And current and former players are putting Sox ownership on blast. It's a wonderful thing to see. How you doing, Joey?
They have officially pissed off their $300 million centerpiece. Their legends are speaking up. Former legends, former players in the media now who work for the media company they own are speaking up. People who played sports in Boston that were not baseball are speaking up. Mm. Oh, everybody's pissed off. Things are not going great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's jump into it. Let's jump right into it. Rafael Devers, I don't know if you guys know, he is the star of the team. Some could argue he's the only star on the Boston Red Sox. And this comes in, what, Tuesday? Was this Tuesday? All the days kind of mesh together. Each day there's a new either current or former player that's ripping the Red Sox ownership group and Sam Kennedy. So that's a beautiful thing. But Rafi Devers, I believe on Tuesday, he made it clear that he thinks the Red Sox need to keep adding. Devers said, everybody knows what we need. You know what we need. They know what we need. There's some things I can't say out loud. Everybody that knows the organization and knows the game knows what we need. He went on to say they need to make an adjustment to help us players be in a better position to win. Everybody in this organization wants to win. We as players want to win. I think they need to make adjustments to help us win. Wow. This is Rafi Devers, Joe.
Yeah. Now, here's my first thing on that, dude, is that's not the quote we were told when he said it. Those are not the words we were told when he said it. Did that register with you at all?
What do you mean?
I mean, the translator sitting next to him when Rafi said
all that. Oh, we talked about that. You and I, we have each other's phone numbers, so we were texting about it.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the first things that jumped out to me is, what's his name? I forget his name all the time. He's a really nice guy.
I think it's Carlos.
Okay. He's awesome, and he's been great to us over the last couple of years. But he's in an awkward as hell position when that press conference is going on because this is an employee of the team that is Rafael Devers' translator, and yeah. Rafi is basically blowing up the team. He is like, this is unacceptable. Again, paraphrasing, but of course the line that everybody ran with is everybody knows what we need, which, yeah, by the way, it's a really good way to word it, right? It's not, it's this person's opinion that we got to do that. No, this so-and-so, this former player thinks we should do this. No, everybody knows what you need to do, and you're not doing it.
Not everybody has an opinion or whatever, just everyone knows. Mm. It's definitive. It's saying we do need it, and everybody's aware of it. And I think who knows if Rafi actually said that? Carlos said it, that's for sure. But it seems to be a quote that's going around that people are latching onto, which does make sense. But there was a moment during I do feel for Carlos because, like you said, weird situation to be in. But there was a moment Rafi was asked, like, has he talked to ownership about this? And he gave like a 10-15 second answer. And then Carlos nods and he turns and he goes, yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, dude.
Wait a second.
There is more there. There is more
there. And then immediately after that, somebody asked, are you frustrated by the way things have gone? And Rafi starts his answer by going, claro, claro, which is clearly, clearly. And he finishes his answer. And then Carlos goes, no, not really. And I was like, wait, okay, I got to wait for the Spanish reporters to put out what he actually said, because something tells me these are not the words that Rafi is saying. And the quotes that you're reading there are transcribed by the Spanish reporters, because he did go into a lot more. I mean, even the translation that we were given was more than you're used to hearing from Rafi. But seeing the actual words that he was saying, man, yeah, that's it's out of character, and it's also not what you want to hear. But I almost like couldn't even get to that second part. I was too focused on, wow, this is not like Raffi. He's saying words that are well above his outspokenness level usually.
Yeah, I was like you. I wanted to wait for translation to happen to really see exactly what he said. Initially, all you really needed to know out of the gate was everybody knows what we need, because like you're alluding to, Joey, that in itself is already way more than we would get from Rafael Devers. That line by itself is already something that you're not expect, or you know, you don't expect to hear. But I had a lot of thoughts after this, after these quotes surfaced and after the translation happened. And one of the top ones was just being proud, which I think Cora alluded to too, being proud that he spoke up. It's like, Rafael Devers is going to be 28 years old by the end of this season. He's no idiot, all right? He's no fool. I know we always get the joke around, the goofy, the funny guy. He makes all the funny faces, and he's in the box goofing around. Rafael Devers is one of the most competitive players in all of baseball. And he starts hearing what Sam Kennedy and the ownership group is now shifting the whole, you know, motto to that we're going to wait for the youth to come up, and they're just somehow going to magically, you know, fix all of our problems. And he's like, no. No. First off, not only is that just not going to happen, secondly, I didn't sign this contract for you guys to just now throw this in my face and be like, the youth is going to save us. Joe, I can promise you, in the contract discussions that Rafael Devers had with the Red Sox, they sold him on what they are immediately about to do with the roster and with the team. There's no doubt that they said, at the latest, by this season, that they would be going for playoff appearances and potentially a World Series run. There's no doubt in my mind that they said that to Devers. So I'm proud of them for speaking up and being like, I'm going to be 28 years old by the end of this season. I'm not going to just waste a good chunk, the majority of my prime years, while you're now telling us I have to wait for the youth to come along and save the franchise. No, I'm not doing that. We are not doing that. And it had this... This was the first moment for Devers that he is specifically, in my eyes, the captain of the team, at least one of the top leaders. It had that feel to it where it's like, no, we don't want this as a collective. I know he said, like, everyone knows what we want, what we need, yada, yada, yada. But this felt like Raffi being like, I speak for my brothers that I play with. We do not agree, and we are not going to stand by as you waste our prime years and waste our ability to compete for what we want the most, which is World Series titles. Devers, I think, is the opposite of Rendon. I think he is an absolute ball player that wants to compete and wants to win. Again, we see the goofy side of him, but I think he's extremely competitive, and he's pissed off that not just that this is the offseason we've had so far, but that there's no sign it's going to change in the next, what, 3-4 weeks until the season starts.
I mean, anytime a player, especially of his caliber, accepts a long-term deal before reaching free agency, you have to assume that the team is willing to meet all of the things that he wants. Yeah. And if what he wanted was the maximum dollar he could possibly get, you have to assume he would hit free agency, right? Like, that just makes the most sense. So you have to think, okay, it's other boxes that are checked. He grew up in this organization. There are people that he likes in this organization. It's a matter of relocating and all that. Those are probably some boxes. But one of the bigger ones probably has to be competing. And if you're his agent, I'm sure that's a conversation that comes up for an extended period of time. That, hey, look, Raffi wants to win, and if we're going to stay here, this is obviously, this is all me projecting, and I'm guessing here, but...
No, it's just true. There's just no way this didn't happen. There's no way these talks didn't happen.
I mean, he did say, because he was asked about it, and he did say, like, I was just focused on locking up my future and all that, but that... Again, I might be making some jumps here, but that feels like just not wanting to say the hard truth, which is, no, they told me we were going for it this year, and they lied to me. Because I think that might be the line.
Let's just do process of elimination here. If the Red Sox did tell Devers, hey, we are making you the face of the team, we want you to be here for the next 11 years, maybe more, who knows, but you got to give us a little bit of time. We got some studs coming up in the minor leagues. We're going to go after Yamamoto. We're going to try, but you got to give us a little, you know, leeway here.
then Devers doesn't say this. Joey,
no,
his
no.
contract extension, Raffy's contract extension hasn't even kicked in yet. That's how confident he is in roasting the team publicly and knowing that everyone's going to back it. His 10-year extension hasn't even started yet, and he's already like, what the hell are we doing here? That's how bad this offseason has been.
I think Tomasi, actually, is...
Who's actually been spot on lately, which is killing me.
Dude, I was about to say, I think he was spot on about something, which was that they, I think Full Throttle was their intention. I think they really did intend to go in. And something shifted in, what, November, December, whenever that change in mentality was, or December, January?
December, January, yeah.
Yeah, I really believe that everybody thought they were going for it. I mean, they definitely didn't project out years in advance, like, hey, we're going to fire Heim, we're going to bring in a new guy, then we're going to continue a rebuild. Like, that just, it makes a lot of sense when you hear the argument laid out, sorry, that they were intent on going for it and something changed. Papp actually said the same thing on Foul Territory, that it seemed like they were ready to go, something changed, and they pulled it all back. So, it's probably finance, right? That would make the most sense.
They realized they weren't going to match the Yamamoto price and they pulled back. Doesn't it feel like it was kind of a Yamamoto or bust offseason? Now that we know what we know, it seems like they were willing, and Breslow's even acknowledged that they felt good about the conversations they had with Yamamoto. Like, it seems like they were willing to go to a certain amount with him, and then if that didn't happen, then, all right, we're going back to the youth thing. Like, that's and we're fine saying that publicly, which still blows my mind how comfortable they are saying that publicly when it's just not, like we've mentioned, on it's not an answer. That's not a solution. But they're saying it publicly, like, we're all going to be like, all right, good point. Hey, good point. You got us. Like, you know, unproven youth is going to save the franchise in 5 years.
As it always does in baseball. Guys always work
out.
Yeah,
classic. Classic. Yeah.
It's weird. It's hard for me to say that Yamamoto was their only option, although it is really looking like that. But that makes so many of the quotes earlier in the offseason so extra stupid, because they were pretty vocal about liking the market. And, you know, having their eyes on certain guys and knowing that there are pitchers out there who can really help this team. And if they were saying that with a wink, wink, nod, nod, saying, yeah, it's the Japanese MVP who's 25 years old and that's it. It's like, oh, no way, you like that guy. And that's it. Yeah. That's your whole list. That's it. Like, yeah, no kidding. He was really good.
Literally, everybody wanted him. Yeah.
Yeah. And as it turns out, we found out this week, it wasn't even about the money at the end of the day. He turned down the biggest offer. So I don't even know what it would have taken to got him. So, I mean, they didn't even factor that in. So, I mean, if they had offered him $350 and he says no, do they pivot all the way from spending $350 million to waiting for the youth again? Like, I just can't. I can't believe.
I still can't get there. I can't get there because it doesn't. If you're willing to go that, let's say they were willing to go to 300 with Yamamoto, which I still don't even believe would be true. We're throwing hypotheticals out here.
They would have said it if they did.
They would have said it, but let's just say they would have done it, which I think is a stretch.
Sure.
If they would have done that, then what is your logic in none of the other top starters being worthy of bringing on for less than that, and for maybe significantly less than that? How do you go from we need a top of the rotation guy and we're willing to give $300 million to that guy to you can't give like $170, $180 to a guy that's proven in the big leagues versus this guy that hadn't thrown a pitch that you were going to give $300 to? How can you not get there?
Is it even going to be that number? Because
no, it's
that's
probably
going to
be high. It'll probably be higher than that. Or you think it's going to be lower?
I was going to say. I mean, I don't know, dude. The market is small right now.
At this
now.
Point, it might be lower. It might be lower. Yeah.
Do you know who the favorite to sign Montgomery is at this moment? Like betting odds?
The Woo Sox?
The Boston Red Sox.
Are the Red Sox the favorites?
The Red Sox are the betting favorite to win the Jordan Montgomery sweepstakes.
To win the Jordan Montgomery World Series, dude.
Yes. And nobody here believes it's going to happen. There is no market for him right now. It's nuts. Him, the guy who after a few injuries, was basically the ace of the World Series winning team, and the reigning Cy Young winner are on the
it's
market.
Crazy.
And nobody wants them. The Red Sox need one, and they're like, nah, I don't know. So it's not even, can we go to 150? It's like, can we give enough to keep the guy living in the same city as his wife? Like, and it's still nah, probably not.
Isn't part of it, can we get to 150? Like, isn't part of it, we're not willing to pay half what we were going to pay to the guy that hasn't pitched in the bigs yet? How could you not do that? I still can't wrap, and we can talk about this forever. It's not, I know this is about Devers. This starts with Devers. It's still crazy, Joe, and you and I both know this. People listening know this. But it needs to be reiterated how wild it is. Not only that Rafael Devers said this, that he didn't just say it to a reporter that was doing a piece on him. He said it publicly in front of the cameras at spring training with all the reporters there and knew that he was going to be fully backed by his teammates, fully backed by the fan base, and probably fully backed by some folks in the front office that agree with him but can't say shit.
Yeah.
So that's what Rafael Devers was comfortable enough saying. A guy that we would never think he'd say something like this. But that's how bad it's been. It's gotten to this point.
He's also a guy who, for my money, on this team is probably the most unplugged from baseball come wintertime.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, he has a family. I think I don't know if everyone knows that he has like kids. And
I think most don't know that. I think most don't.
He has kids and a wife, and he lives on a farm. Like, he has animals and stuff. Like, he has a whole life on a different continent, on an island, on a literal island that he just goes to.
Let's be honest. It's not like Raffy's really working out in the offseason. I think Raffy shows up to spring training, and he knows he's ready to play ball because he's got the God-given talent. But you're right, Joe. He's completely detached.
And to be that unplugged and to still come back and be like, wow, this is the squad, huh?
It's almost like he got to spring training and really wanted to wait for everyone to arrive, right? Wanted to really maybe wanted to be surprised if Snell turned around the corner, like, oh, yes, all right, we got some, or Montgomery walks around the corner. And then he realized, wait, what? This is, everyone's here? This is the whole team?
Why is Whitlock going with the starters?
Yeah, and we're getting rid of Schreiber. What's going on? I loved him. He was great. So I think they
definitely hung out.
Yeah, they were best dudes. They were best friends.
Schreiber,
Schreiber and Raffy. You couldn't separate them, dude. You couldn't separate them.
Piggyback rides all around the clubhouse. I remember.
It was just their thing. It was their thing. But I just, it's a huge deal that Devers said it. I'm glad he said what he said. But it's got me thinking, and I don't know how much we want to talk about the Jansen comments. I mean, he basically said similar stuff. You know, why aren't we going for it? I was basically promised that by year two, we'd really be going for it.
Yeah.
Kenley Jansen cannot wait to not be here. I'll tell you that much. Certain times when there's trade rumors with the player and they'd rather that not be happening and they're comfortable where they are and they don't want to move their family and all that, Kenley's got his bags packed. He's like, please. Please get me out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. And now, like Raffy, he feels comfortable publicly saying, like, what's the deal here? And the Red Sox don't have a lot of those guys that have the ability to say it. And we've said it on this program before, that I feel for the players on the Red Sox roster that don't have the contract guarantees, that don't have the baseball guarantees ahead of them, to allow them to say what they want to say publicly. Instead, they have to just eat it and go, you know, I believe in everybody in that clubhouse, and we were being doubted, and you're being doubted because the team sucks. This isn't like you're being doubted because people don't like you personally. It's now they have to change their whole, you know, mentality to try to convince themselves they're good enough to win when the best player on the team is well aware they're not good enough to compete in this division. So it messes your whole dynamic with your current and former roster. Current and former players are all in the same boat looking at this going, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, Kenley, I think, is worth noting for two reasons. I mean, this is nothing new. Like, if you asked an AI, like, hey, give me a Kenley Jansen quote about this year, it would read exactly like what he said. It's exactly what you expect from Kenley. There was nothing in there that made me go, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that he explicitly finally said, they told me in year two we would be going for it. They told me in year one we'd be competitive, and in year two we'd be going for it. We had speculated about that. We talked about that. Like, when they signed him, they definitely, you know, probably had a conversation with him about that. And would you look at that, turned out to be true. I didn't feel like we cracked the code or something, but I was like, yeah, obviously, there we go. We finally said it, because it was so obvious just given how frustrated he was. It's like, oh, they definitely told him that this team was going to be better than it is, and that they would be probably adding at the deadline, and that they would be, at the very least, pushing the chips in 2024 and trying to field a competitive team. And that's simply not the case. But, I mean, just to be totally clear on Kenley there, I don't think anyone with half a brain can blame Kenley for not wanting to be here at all. Like, Hall of Fame closer.
He's still got it. It's not like, you know, there's certain scenarios where it's like you're thankful for the contract you have because you didn't really deserve it. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, I've earned it with my prime years and now I'm not in my prime anymore. Kenley can still close ball games.
Yeah,
so he's wasting the last years.
He's not getting like a legacy salary. He is earning it. And so, I mean, if he was shipped off at the deadline, I'd say, God bless you. Have a great time. Mm. Win one for me, would you? I'd tune in and watch him. I think I'm going to watch the postseason either way.
No, you're acting like you just don't watch the games anyway. I'm going to follow his journey. It's like, Joey, we watch the games regardless, dude. You know, you're not getting extra points for this.
Yeah, it's my job. Yeah, I'll watch.
You're not getting bonus credit because you're going to tune in to Kenley's journey.
Yeah, let me say it now, dude. Write it down. It is February 21st. If Kenley Jansen goes to a team that goes into the postseason, I will watch every game that his team plays.
Okay. That's a good guarantee right there.
Yeah,
that's
blood right there.
Among all these quotes, you know, among everyone kind of ripping the team, I was just sitting here thinking, what the hell does Kyle Van Noy think about all this? Right? Like, what is KVN thinking right now? Because we hadn't heard from him yet.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he breaks his silence.
Well, it was one third of the trifecta. Obviously, we're all wondering: Kyle Van Noy, Ty Law, and Lawyer Malloy. Those are the guys that we all need to hear from.
Yep. So finally, one of them speaks up, and it's Kyle Van Noy tweeting out today: "Can someone explain what the hell the Red Sox are doing? I'm still butthurt about Mookie. For real, for real. Yeah." You're butthurt about Mookie, Kyle Van Noy from Reno, Nevada. You're butthurt, dude. Joey, you say the Kenley quote felt like it was like an AI Kenley quote. Van Noy's tweet was just, give me a summary of literally every Red Sox tweet from this offseason that anyone has sent and put it in like two lines. Mm-hmm. It would be this. Can someone explain what the hell's going on? I'd still miss Mookie. That's literally everybody, dude.
If you were to ask like your agent, if you're Kyle Van Noy and you're like, I want to tweet about the Red Sox, what should I say? He'd be like, just say this.
Just say this exactly, dude. So thank God we've finally heard from Kyle Van Noy. He breaks his silence and speaks on the matter. So that's all I have for Devers. You got anything else for Devers? I mean, it is very noteworthy that he was that comfortable saying that publicly. And, Joey, I saw some tweets being like, will what Raffy and Kenley said, you know, will their quotes mean the Red Sox are going to take action? No, no,
no,
no,
no.
That's not, if anything, they would just double down and be like, oh, you think like you guys just saying you're not happy is going to make us make moves? Try to visualize it. Try to visualize John Henry. That slime ball who's been walking around spring training. I saw your tweet, Joey. It was funny. Who the hell is getting John Henry's autograph? Who are you people?
Who is doing that?
What is wrong with you? And kids, too. Kids, you're not off the hook. What are you doing? getting John Henry's autograph right now. My God, it devalues the ball. The Major League Baseball, I think, is $25, maybe $30 now.
Mm-hmm.
What's it worth when you get John Henry to sign it? $2? Like,
17 at the most, yeah.
$0.17. Yeah, yeah, I think that's what it goes down to. So, God, what are they doing? But there's no way John Henry is going to see these quotes and think anything other than what he's already thought, which is, no, I'm going to keep collecting this money. I'm going to keep investigating into, you know, the other teams and companies we have under our portfolio, and we're just going to keep rolling. They very clearly are set on this now. I don't think there's much change in them. They are set on this whole youth movement thing. And Sam Kennedy, I got some Kennedy quotes to talk about after we just... We'll get to that in a second. But Kennedy can't help himself with that line of, like, I understand why people are upset. A couple last place finishes in a row. We just got to win ball games. Another quote that just doesn't qualify as making any sense. You don't have the ability to say that when you're not actually putting action into winning ball games. You can't say, we just got to win. Yeah, sure, dude. Like, I got to be a billionaire.
Better players help you win more games. So you can't just be like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, well, why can't these guys win games? Well, because you don't have a starting rotation. That's why.
Yeah. It's like someone asking you, like, why you don't have a Porsche. Oh, I just got to get one. No, you can't afford one. That's why. Like, he's skipping a step with winning games. You have to pay players that win you the games. But, yeah, the Henry thing, it's more just what Devers, what Kenley, what Pedroia said. It sucks because I don't think it's going to change anything. I'm glad it's being said because these guys deserve to have tomatoes thrown at them, which is what's happening. But I don't think it's going to actually change anything.
No, it's not going to change anything. My final takeaway from it all, I think, was that just how out of character this was with Rafi, because Cora went on in his presser, which I think like immediately followed the Devers one, to say like he doesn't like being called the face of the team. Don't call him that. And that makes sense. I mean, the thing is, he is, but...
I think he joked after that saying, call him the baby face of the team. So I don't know if you only saw half the quote, but... Yeah.
I did see it. Did you want me... I could do it again and include the joke. I can do it. Yeah. Okay. Don't call him the face of the team, but you can call him the carita of the team. Ha, ha, ha. So I think this is... I think that just hammered home for me, like, just how out of character this is. And that it's probably not something you're going to see from him again. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with your $300 million cornerstone piece not also being the most vocal guy. I like how I felt hearing him speak up about something, that it was like, oh, this is rare, that he is the one actually grabbing the mic and saying, nah, I gotta speak for the guys in there. I like it being few and far between. So
yeah,
that's my final thought on all that. I know there's like a million other people that we got to dissect here.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok the other day.
Did you?
Talking about how important it is to not overspeak and overshare, especially in a meeting, maybe with a handful of people, group of people. It's good to speak when necessary to maintain the power of the words that you're putting out there, Joe. And that's kind of what you're getting at with Rafi. Devers never does this. He's held on to his words. He's held on to when it really needs to be said, and he's said what we're all thinking, but we didn't expect him to say. And I'm proud. I'm proud of the young kid. I'm proud of him for going there. I don't think it's going to change much, but it's still good that he went there.
It is.
There you go.
It is.
You would have laughed at the TikTok. It was like, you know what? You know those, like, there's always like clips of the pods that are, I don't know how they ever have enough material, because they're all just about like inspiring people. I'm like, do you do one show a week, two? How many?
They probably take turns going back and forth reading things that they wrote down. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody got to remind me of that when I have a few drinks in me, because that's my
biggest thing. Say less.
You're very aware of that. Yeah. That's why I was giggling as you were talking. Yeah. Because my goodness. Mm.
Oh, that's what you were laughing at. All right. Yeah.
I'm like the king of like giving my life story to people when I have like a beer and a half. And I'm like,
I'll be like, hey, this is Joey.
My relationship with my dad.
Yeah. So about the divorce. I'm like, Joey, no, stop.
Joey, don't go into that.
Joey, just shake his hand and keep it moving. Liam Hendricks. The Red Sox signed Liam Hendricks.
I can't wait for opening day when he's ready to go. Let's go.
I know. I think he's the starter, actually. They're changing his role. First thought, obviously, was, dude, Kenley's gone. Kenley is so gone. He's like the least Red Sox player of a guy that's actually a Red Sox player right now. Definition of a guy with a foot out the door mentally and with the front office, just straight up telling them with their actions, you're out of here, buddy. We got your backup. We got your replacement ready. We even have with Martin, we already have a guy that could fill your shoes. And so you're gone. Just letting you know, this is it. And not only is this your last season with the Red Sox, but you were not going to be here at the end of the season. That's the first thing I thought seeing this. Honestly, I don't have much on it, Joe. I think it's a 2-year, $10 million. I know there's other stuff, other incentives and all that, but it basically boils down to a 2-year, $10 million deal. He said he wants to pitch by the trade deadline. Of course, we've heard that before with Red Sox players. They want, I want to be back by here, I want to be back by then. And then the Sox take it upon themselves to mess that up in the recovery process. So who even knows when he's actually going to be back. Before last season, before 2023, he had a 2.23 ERA in his previous four seasons entering that 23 season. He made the All-Star game every year. There was an All-Star game in that stretch. Obviously, coming off of TJ, and that is why the Red Sox signed him. They love a fixer-upper project like you read about, Joey. Mm. Paxton, Giolito, Liam Hendricks. Throw all these other guys in there that they signed a, you know, half-a-year deals. This is what happens.
What's
the
his
Sox
name?
Love
the shortstop,
it.
Alejandro. What's his name?
Alejandro Balabuzo. Yep.
Balabuzo. Mm-hmm. What's his God-given name? Why can't I remember
that
it right now?
It's that. That's what it is. So this is what they do.
Yeah.
This is what they do. So it's not, again, no one's going to be excited about this. Shout out to our guy. Is he still down in the backfields? Guy that's been helping out with graphics.
I think so.
I want to make sure I get his actual hand. Yeah, down on the backfields on Instagram. I was just excited for what the jersey edit would look like because Hendricks is always pumped up. So, like, that was kind of cool. But, yeah, that's it. He's Kenley's replacement. He's a guy that it's a risk coming off this surgery. You don't exactly know what you're going to get from him, and that's why the Red Sox love it. They prize those guys. Those guys get all their attention. Not the players they need. It's the guys they don't necessarily need that they rush to sign because no one else wants them.
Are the Red Sox just obsessed with the future, even when they're trying to sign guys currently? They're like, we like him, but we don't like that he can pitch now.
They're okay with him pitching at the trade deadline, but you cannot be ready for opening day. There's no way you can compete and help this team from the jump. We're not going to allow that.
Yeah, is there a possibility that they, you know, were talking to Hendricks' camp, and they were like, sorry, we're not interested. And then Hendricks' agent was like, wait, you haven't let us finish. He is only going to be able to pitch in the future. And they were like, what? We love the future. Yeah, that could definitely be it. If you're looking for a silver lining in all this, they did clean house a little bit with a lot of the staff. So if you're worried about, you know, what the rehab process was like for somebody like Paxton and how long that took, or somebody like Chris Sale, or Alejandro Marmolejo, what the hell is his name?
Balabuzo or Trevor Story.
Or Trevor Story or one of the other 38 guys that you could name here. Maybe this process goes a little bit differently with Liam Hendricks and he's actually back by the trade deadline. There's no way I see it earlier, just based off of the fact that if a guy says, I hope to pitch by blank, I can't imagine you'd bring him
in. Are you talking about Adalberto Mondesi?
Adalberto Mondesi. There he is. Took me forever.
Because, Joe, this is giving Adalberto Mondesi vibes.
Yeah, a little
where
bit, right?
It's like, oh, maybe I'll do that, maybe I'll do that. Maybe you're just not going to pitch all year and collect a free $5 million. How about that? Dude, where else can you come off Tommy John surgery and just collect a free $5 million than Boston, Massachusetts? This team is ready to give it to you. Like you said, if you can promise us that you are not going to play for the 2024 Red Sox, we'll give you $5 million.
If you promise us you're not gonna play baseball, we'll pay you. But that's it. That's so funny. They are willing to pay you only if you promise to rehab all year.
You gotta rehab, dude. You can pitch in literally all the minor league games you want. It's like the Woo Sox, they're having fun there. Portland is great in the summer. And again, like we talk about with the youth that's coming up, you can be there on the ground floor. You can be there at the start of their obviously soon-to-be legendary careers that we all know is to happen. You can be there, Liam Hendricks. You just can't be in Boston. You cannot be present for a 2024 game. We won't allow it. But we, hey, if you're rehabbing, we'll have Netflix there. So you'll get to have that exposure, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And then maybe don't even pitch in 25, honestly. Now that we think about it, imagine the longer the combos go on. We're just going to give you a free $10 million. Forget the five. Here's a free $10.
Take it and run.
You can put on the jersey. We'll let you run around during spring training, and that's about it.
Yeah, they just outright them. What if here's a bit of bad news. If Liam Hendricks does pitch this year for the Boston Red Sox, I have to relinquish my victory here, and I have to admit that I was wrong that the 2024 roster was not set. It's not done yet, because believe it or not, there's a chance that he doesn't pitch in 2024. But there's a possibility that I may have been wrong about that. So that's
but you're still not wrong yet. You're still not wrong yet.
Correct.
So as long as hold on to that as long as you can.
I will. I don't have much, so I'll hold on to it.
Until he pitches, you still got that going for you, Joe.
Thank you.
Were one of the first to call the Red Sox being done making offseason moves. I believe it was like early January. This was from Red Sox Stats, favorite account on the Twitter machine. Anyone calling it X, by the way, stop being such a nerd. It's Twitter. Shut up. I saw this on X. Shut up. Red Sox stats. The Red Sox entered the starter free agency with a $199 million payroll for 2024. On the first day of full squad spring training, they signed Liam Hendricks for $5 million average annual value, and their projected 2024 payroll moves to $206 million. So, start of free agency, $199. I don't want to say end of free agency because, you know, stuff can technically still happen. But essentially the end of free agency, 206. They have committed $7 extra million, seven single digits, to this team that they already had committed at the start of free agency. That is, Joe, kidding aside, I love doing this program, love the listeners, yada, yada. If you showed me this one tweet at the start of the offseason, I think we would have had to have a conversation. Should we just not do any shows this offseason? Should we just, for our mental health, for our well-being, should we just skip this offseason? Because if I knew they were only going to commit $7 million to the offseason moves, I don't know, man. I do not know. Crazy.
Well, what if I told you at the beginning of the offseason Cooper Criswell would be on the Boston Red Sox?
Oh, then yeah. Then you're good.
So it's a matter of how much information you get. What if I told
you
we're going to give $5 million to Liam Hendricks to rehab? Then you'd be like, okay. Then, yeah, maybe
don't even mention Giolito. I mean, ace, dude. Mm-hmm. Ace. That's what everyone thinks. When you think Lucas Giolito, you're like, oh, ace. Obviously. That's what he
is. It's almost like the Sox loved the jokes last year about, or was it the year before? About
they're
Sale,
the same.
Paxton, and Waka being like, oh man, if this was 2017, this team would be sweet. They were like, dude, what if we just keep doing that? Those jokes
are
pretty
sick.
Rolling. Yeah.
Those were hilarious. Our guy, Johnny Schreiber, traded to the Kansas City Royals. I think the Royals are going to win the World Series. What are the odds of that? We got for Royals World Series champs. I'm gonna look that up. We'll get that information to you.
I think they're heavily favored to win the Central, right?
Heavily? I don't know about that.
Are they favorite? Are they even just favored to win this Central?
I might be dead wrong there, but I'm pretty sure that's what I saw. Good
shot.
They're
plus 850 to win the Central. The Twins, Tigers, and Guardians are ahead of them. But if those three teams just like stop existing, then they're heavily favored.
I meant besides those three teams.
Yeah, obviously, I should have known that you meant besides the majority of the division.
I meant favored to win fourth in the division.
Yes, yeah. Doesn't it suck the Sox aren't even favored to win fourth in the division? That sucks. We're so envious of the Royals. The Sox are plus 1,300 to win the AL East. The Royals are plus 850 to win the Central. What do you think the Royals are to win the World Series?
I don't know, something like plus 13,000.
Let's see, World Series.
They're plus 13,000.
Oh, okay, so you actually looked.
What do you think the Sox are?
To win the World Series?
Yeah, to win the World Series.
They got to be like plus 5,000.
They're plus 5,000.
Oh, what?
Look at us guessing, dude.
Wow,
that's pretty crazy, dude. Let me tell you, if I had money, which sometimes I don't want to brag here, sometimes I have money. The other day, Sebastian asked me how much money Daddy has, and I told him $100, and it blew his mind, dude.
Well, you're rich, dude.
Yeah,
That's all you need in life. Yeah. If you bet $25 on the Oakland A's to win the World Series, you would win $10,000.
How do you not do that?
How do you not? Same for the Rockies. Just take Rockies A's and just hope for the best. Yeah, but our guy, Schreiber, ITM alum, heading to the Royals for someone that we all know in David Sandlin. No chance. Sandlin. Okay. Almost Sandlot. He's two letters away from being David Sandlot.
That's true. My phone auto-corrected it to Sandlot, so that's something.
Okay. There was a dude in our DMs a couple weeks ago that wanted us to do more breakdowns on prospects. And I was like, when do we ever do that? And he's like, you don't, but it's desperate times, man. This is the kind of analysis you get when we acquire a prospect. He's two letters away from being David Sandlot.
Yeah, here you go, dude. Whoever that was in the DMs. Here you go. We can do it.
Here you go, bro. The new guy on the Red Sox his last name being Sandlot. That's our reaction.
He said on Twitter, he prefers Sandman.
Oh, please. That's taken, brother. Come on. Sandman.
I was thinking, picture this. He's a reliever. He comes out of the bullpen to that Metallica song, Enter Sandman. What do you think about that?
Well, I said Sandman's taken as if that was just like, was that actually, what was Rivera's actual nickname?
Mo.
Was it that? Yeah, it wasn't Sandman. It was just that was the entrance, right?
Yeah. No one ever called him the Sandman.
It says nicknamed Mo and Sandman. Yeah.
Did people call him Sandman?
I think some people did. But we got him. We got Sandman now. It's not much to add to this. It's another trade that obviously, another move that does not have 2024 in mind at all. The rebuild continues into its fifth season, which is wonderful. I remember stats floating at the 22 deadline that the Red Sox should consider dealing Schreiber. And at the time, I was like, he's just got too much value, too much control. I understand that he was having an all-time season and the odds of him repeating that were very slim. But still, even if he was a lesser version of that, that's still something that really impacts your bullpen in a good way. Stats was totally right. Yeah. When Stats was right, that account would be flooded with posts. That one, I think he nailed it. If they had traded him at the 22 deadline, you could have gotten some real value. I mean, some would say this is good value. Stats is also someone that really likes this trade. Baseball America says Sandlin is ranked 20th in the Royals farm system and tabbed him as a potential sleeper in 2024. They said the closest season in production for a 22-year-old starting pitcher was Corey Kluber in 2008 for the San Diego Padres affiliate. So Kluber retired. The Red Sox got a 22-year-old Corey Kluber. How do you feel?
Klubot 2.0. Here's the thing. First of all, the stats suggestion at the 22 deadline. Although he was right, I would have hated that. I was so ready to go
in me too.
On the 22 deadline. Yeah. So I can't act any other way than just to say the truth, which is I would have absolutely hated it at the time. And Stats was probably right. But even though I am sitting here saying I would have disagreed then and this guy was right, whoever it is, I will once again stand here and say I disagree with Stats. I don't like the trade one bit whatsoever. So like some places, yes, he's ranked the 20th prospect in the Royals system. Some places had him ranked as high as 5th, I want to say, maybe 7th.
Yeah, 5-6, right around there. Yeah.
Yeah. So do with that what you will. But Schreiber had 3 years of control left. Am I correct? 3 years? So I don't really understand a one-for-one, 3 years of control of a proven major leaguer for a prospect for the future. I also don't like thinning this major league roster any more than it is. It just solidifies this year as not just a throw in the towel. Then you start to talk about like tank stuff. Once you start taking away from an area of strength and a guy who is good and just getting rid of him for the future, now you can't really stand on much against the tank allegations. And I understand it's one guy, but when you start making moves like that, you can't then also get up in front of the media and say some dumbass thing like, oh, I don't know, we just got to win ball games. Fuck you. No, we don't. You can't do that.
You
when
can't.
You're thinning
you can't.
The major league roster.
Yeah, I think that's what I keep coming back to. And I just really liked Schreiber. He was, you know, I don't ever mind just throwing personal stuff out there. He was great to us. Like, yeah. he was really nice to us. It was good seeing him at the park. You know, he followed the account. A good dude. A really, really nice guy that had a lot of huge moments, albeit huge moments for non-playoff teams, but still had some really big moments out of the pen. I can't think of anybody that came in and shut the door, including Kenley, more than Schreiber the last 2 years. I mean, he came into some brutal situation. We called him the janitor. He'd always clean up everyone else's messes, come into bases loaded, no-out situations, and get out of it and give up nothing. I'm like, this guy is legit. So I don't love that part of it, especially, like you mentioned, Joe. He did have 3 years of control left. And I'm never going to get excited I just don't get excited about prospects. I just never have. Like, he's this guy in the system, and he reminds us of this, you know, former Cy Young, whatever, dude. Like, I don't think people factor in how many layers these players need to go through and succeed at and check how many boxes they need to check just to get where Schreiber already is.
Yep.
So it is a long list of checkpoints for these players to become anything of relevance, and you already had one for 3 more years, and you were willing to get rid of him. Now, I understand a lot of people, you need starters, and he's a starter. It's like, but use your brain, though. You need starters now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, too, another thing that's so weird about this. Sorry, I got excited and jumped in there. That's my bad. But what's so strange about it is they're so picky about the trades that they're making, and they're holding out for so long. And Papelbon said, you know, this week that he believes that they're doing the Heim thing again. If they're getting too picky and they want the perfect deals, if you're being that picky, this just seems like such a weird one to be like to make when you're making so few moves. To be like,
yeah,
yes, we're very picky, and this one fits all the criteria. A one for one with a guy who's proven for 3 more years and a singular prospect. That doesn't mean that I don't think that this guy's going to work out. I can't tell you. I haven't read the report on him. That's not what I'm saying. But it's just like when you're that picky, every deal should be perfect, right? If that's what you're going, it's just weird. This doesn't read like a perfect deal.
There is nothing I've learned more over the last handful of years about our own fan base, the Red Sox fan base, than the delusion that is involved when it comes to talking about prospects.
Oh, everybody's an expert, bro. Everybody knows.
Because you can't definitively shoot anyone down when you're talking about hypotheticals. So when a trade like this happens, the group of people that are all excited about it, you're excited about a hypothetical. You're not excited about something that is a physical, tangible thing. You're excited about a thought, about a concept, but not about like an actual, legitimate, guaranteed to help this team thing. And that's where you always lose me. Like, I understandable that you are going to hit on some prospects. And there are times where you're going to be like, oh, wow, they got this guy only for Schreiber? Yeah, those things do happen. More often than not, they don't. So, again, it's added to the list of things that with this, you know, front office and ownership group just continues to not back up what they were saying and even what they're saying now, like we allude to with Kennedy, and we'll get to some of the quotes here now, honestly. It is time. You just can't throw that line out. You can't keep using that. We just need to win games. Obviously, you need to win games, but you can't. You literally can't win enough games with the lack of moves you've made. So just stop saying it. I get so upset when he says it. He uses it like it's this like failsafe. Like you can do no wrong with that line. That line is wrong every time. That is a just incorrect statement to make. And Kennedy keeps saying it over and over again. I'm like, dude, this is not the line. Like, it's not. You're making it worse. He keeps digging himself a bigger hole, which I didn't think it would get to this point with Sam Kennedy.
No.
And again, I like Sam. I've known Sam for a little while now. But he has not done himself any favors this offseason, and it's getting worse every single week. And not just worse because they aren't making moves and he has to eat bullets. Worse because he's going further than he needs to, and with the quotes. Like, he's saying just moronic things that are not based in fact and not based in reality. And it's like a new version of that every week, plus the ones he's already using every week, like that we just need to win games, and I understand why people are upset. It's like, I don't think you guys do.
This was the wrongest that quote has ever been because of the context that it was in, because he said it when asked about increasing payroll and said, yeah, I don't want to get into the specifics of parameters and, you know, spending more. We just got to go out and win ball games. Well, Sam, I hate to be the one to tell you, there's one surefire way to give your team a better chance of winning ball games, and it's spending money. It's the thing you're talking about right now. It doesn't make any sense to say, I don't want to talk about spending. We have to win. Well, cart, horse, brother. They go in a certain order. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying, you know, it's a be-all, end-all. You know, the team who spends the most money wins it every year. I mean, you can spend as much as the Mets did.
Well, they love saying that, too. They love using that line, too.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, now that we know we're not going to spend, the team that wins the World Series doesn't always have the top payroll. How about that?
Yeah, but it sure does give you a better chance, doesn't it? It sure does give you a better chance.
And your last World Series title, you spent the most.
Yeah. So. And in order to win, you usually have to have the best players. The best players cost money. Bada bing, bada boom.
Joey, they normally have high war, those players. The good ones, they have high war.
Yeah, we're also looking for pictures with a good ex-FIP.
Mm.
That's another
just
one.
Just reading off the hand.
Tom yep. learned recently. Yeah, wrote that one right on his palm. Now, there's a Sam quote that pissed me off on a spiritual level, Steve. I'm with you where I like Sam. We've had Sam on the show, right?
Yep. ITM alum. Yep.
Okay. I just forgot whether or not I've spoken to Sam Kennedy. I have, right?
You haven't. It was just me. You had something going on that day.
Okay.
Yeah, you had your poop appointment that day.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it was with my poop doctor. Okay. my poop guru. dude. Sam, I want to come to your defense. Every time somebody in my mentions is like, fire Sam Kennedy, I want to be like, what do you mean? What does he do? What are you talking about? It doesn't mean anything. Sam Kennedy is not the problem with this team. But also, to go up there jaunty and jokey and...
What was the first word?
Jaunty.
Jaunty.
J-A-U-N-T-Y? I think I might be using it wrong.
J-O-N-T-Y?
A-U.
Oh, okay.
Jaunty.
Having or expressing a lively, cheerful, and self-confident manner.
Okay. Yeah. Nailed it. He's up there all mm-hmm. jaunty and shit, and he's like, you know, the funniest thing happened the other night. So me and the owners, the manager, were sitting at dinner, and Dustin Pedroia FaceTimes us, and he goes, "What the fuck are you guys doing?" it was a funny. It was funny. Yeah. What? What is funny there? What are you doing, man? What are you? That was the most tone deaf thing I've ever seen him do. I was like, that is not funny. That's not a joke. You're, dude, a homegrown superstar is calling you out on your nothingness. And you're like, yeah. Can't say it'll influence us, though. But he definitely was passionate. He let us know how he felt. Wow, bro. Wow. It's... Come back down to earth, Sam. You were one of us, brother. Come back down to earth. Hear what you're saying right now.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. Had to do a double take. So here's the actual quote. I had to like read this out multiple times to make sure this is actually what he said. Last night at dinner, Raquel Ferreira and Brez. I love how he's like calling him Brez. Yeah, Brez. And that's my
we're
guy.
We're going
Brez.
Full throttle over at the steakhouse. You know how it
dude,
is.
Dude, we were drinking. I was drinking with Brez last night, dude. Oh my God, you have no idea what we were doing. Me, Raquel, Brez, and AC, and Eddie Romero. And a few others. Well, this was a big dinner. Got a FaceTime from Dustin, and he reminded us who's still out there on the market and what opportunities might be out there. So we appreciate that perspective from Petey, Kennedy said. He was very clear about his feelings. So a couple things, Joe. One thing, if you've noticed about Sam Kennedy over the years, he loves talking about how close he is with Petey and Poppy and Pedro and Tech. And all the glory days, all the reverse the curse guys, he loves, I know Pedroia wasn't on that team, but he loves letting you know how close he is with the Red Sox legends and talking about how great they are, you know, with the current roster and yeah, I wish we could sign all guys like that because all it does is just deflect from the current situation. And Sam, again, someone you and I respect, he loves being cute with the media. If you notice how he answers questions, he always mixes in smiles, and he's not stupid. Sam's a very smart individual. He knows what he's doing. He tries to portray and give off this calmness and kind of just, you know, hangout vibes type of deal when he's answering questions because he just wants to – he is the king of trying to diffuse situations. You can say he's good at some, he's bad at others, but that is a big part of what his job title is. This is not the time. This is the ultimate time to not be cute. Sam, no one needs to know about your FaceTime you had with Dustin Pedroia and him basically calling you out. I don't understand it from his perspective. You're putting yourself on blast by being like a Red Sox legend said that we're being morons. It's basically what you were comfortable saying to the media. My guess, Joey, since he's done this so much over the years, but, oh, I was talking to Poppy and he's really excited about, oh, and I had dinner with Pedro, and he can't wait to continue to grow Brian Bello's abilities at the major league level. He's so used to saying this and name dropping that I bet he started this quote, and in his head he's probably like, oh, wait, maybe this isn't the time, but it was like too late, and he just had to keep going and finish off, you know, what Pedroia told them. It was tone deaf. Tone deaf is exactly the way to say it, and it's, again, like we allude to with Sam, he's continuing to dig himself a bigger hole that it's just going to be hard to get out of. Like I don't know if you, who else can talk though? I don't know who talks after Sam.
John.
Like I know, bro. But I'm saying he's obviously not gonna. So like who's? I don't want to hear from Warner. Obviously not. So it just keeps getting worse, man. And he's obviously not helping himself.
Not to do my best Cotillo impression here, but pretty wild that John Henry was there. The media was there. The offseason is fully on his back that they didn't spend. And he's like, no, I'm not talking. Pretty crazy that he can do that and just say no. I understand that it's a narrative that's beat to death.
You're a bajillionaire. Yeah, I know. But that's what it is. He pays. He has the amount of money where no one can tell him what to do. And that's what gets back to that Raffy, Pedroia, you know, Kenley. None of the players are going to dictate what John Henry does with his money. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
If anything, it's only going to give him more reason to not do what they want because He needs to prove that he's the top dog.
Right. Well, now Poppy is speaking out about it, so maybe that'll change things.
Right, dude. I was actually texting him the other day. Oh my god, we text every day. It didn't even have to do with the Red Sox. We just talk life.
Yeah.
You know, and just
how's he been?
We were talking politics, life. Like, it was just he's doing well.
Did you get that rash checked out yet?
He did. He got it fixed. He got an ointment for it. But no, he's doing well. Yeah, but he's upset too. So I'm not gonna. I would never like tweet those texts out or anything. But they're happening. I can promise you that much. So yeah,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. So it's again. I just don't want to get into it. I would love you to know that I'm texting him, but I just don't want to get into it. So stop asking.
The difference there is you have a photo or a video, a couple of photos.
I got both, dude. I got a photo of Poppy and a video to prove that I have spoken to David Ortiz before for all of 1 minute. I got like an actual 1 minute convo with Poppy.
And did he call you Poppy?
Yeah, he called me Poppy, and I was like, "Nah, you Poppy," and he's like, "No, you Poppy." It went on for 1 minute. We had a really good conversation. That was the entire.
I'm serious. Did he actually? That matters to me. Did he call you Poppy? He calls everybody Poppy.
No,
kind of a life goal a little bit.
No, it was what's up man, you know, the dap up. And I think I just like thanked him for 04. I did a really cliche, like, typical thing. It was just like, dude, 04 was the best or something like that. I think that was like literally it. Like,
yeah, I met the singer of my favorite band when I was like 16, and I did the same thing. I was like, "God, you guys are awesome." He's like, "Thanks, man. Like, seriously, your second album is awesome." He's like, "Thanks, man."
Yeah,
like, man, just, I don't have
it's funny
else.
When you doesn't it always, like, in those situations, it hits you how little time you have, and you never want to be the person that's trying to take too much of someone's time. So your brain just kind of goes to what's like the most effective thing I can do right now. And it's 04 was like the best year of your life. Just be like, thanks for 04. All right, that's
what
all
do
we
me
got
and this guy
for.
Have in common? The 2004 World Series.
Exactly. Yeah, because then the 2013 World Series, because we both played. In that one.
You
so
both got rings.
I probably should have mentioned that.
You and Poppy have the same amount of 2013 World Series rings,
100% true. Time to empty some bench, unless you got something else, Joe?
I don't think so.
Okay. Tristan Casas, he's the first baseman for the Red Sox. He said he has had some discussions with the Red Sox on a contract extension, but nothing enticing so far for Casas. He said he wants to be with the Red Sox forever. I think you alluded to this on the Twitter machine. There is part of me that saw Casas talking about, like, how he wants him and his family to be set and all this. There is a little part, and maybe this is sneaky talk.
Hit it.
There is a little part of me that's like, Tristan, you had a good year, Tristan. You had a good year, all right? We're already in, like, I need myself and my family. Wealth. I need generational wealth after having. And I understand that some of the best contracts you can sign, and some of the worst, are early for the team and for the player. I understand sometimes the best chance to get a mutually beneficial deal is now. But back to sneaky talk. Let's relax a little bit, Tristan. Let's relax. Let's. I have a feeling that the deal he's expecting is ridiculous and is not even close to something that even a smart spending team like the Braves would do. So that's what those quotes to me came off as, like, Tristan loves himself some Tristan and maybe is a little bit too high on Tristan, and let's pump the brakes a little bit. And that's while also saying I obviously have extremely high expectations for Tristan as well. But expectations.
I can't say I feel the same. I didn't get that. I felt like he was saying, like, nah, let's wait till I earn something big.
Oh,
like,
he said nothing was enticing. Like, he wants it now. He wants the deal now. Of course he does. But
I think he's betting on himself to be like, nah, give me 2-3 years, and like, I'll earn the big bucks. That's what I want. So like, I'll force your hand to give me a real offer. But also, can I sneaky talk?
Yeah, sneaky.
We don't need to freak out about this. We don't need to freak out.
Yeah.
I understand.
Fights on the bench.
We're all mad at ownership. but nothing enticing to a guy after his rookie year is fine. I'm okay with that. Do I think Tristan's going to be the franchise first baseman? Yes. Do I think that they lock him up? I sure hope so. I'm not worried that they didn't do it this year. If they don't do it next year, I'm not worried. The year after that, I'm probably still not worried. I'm not worried. It'll be fine. It'll be all right. Maybe, hopefully. Maybe. Probably not.
It's going to be terrible.
Actually, he's gone. Would you look at that?
He's gone, and he's traded. There we go. They were upset that he didn't accept their, like, $80 million 8-year deal.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is, like, I would like to know. Something stupid like that, and they're like, no.
Yeah, I would like to know what it is, because you just know it was insulting. So maybe I'm flip-flopping here, because the deal was probably insulting for what his potential is and what he's already done. And he's like, yeah, no, that's... That's not enticing, but still, there is an element of Tristan where I'm always thinking, and I've thought this since 2018 when we had him on the pod, and he was like, "I can't wait to shut Yankee fans up." I'm like, "Let's calm down, pump the brakes here, kid. Relax." I still do feel that a little bit with Tristan, but not to say it's a bad thing. It's more just that I'm keeping my eye on you. Let's keep our expectations, you know, high but reasonable. Teoscar Hernandez was on with that jabroni Ben Verlander, and he basically said he really wanted to play for the Red Sox, but they were being cheap. He said how much he loved the idea of playing at Fenway, and it just continues. There is a little bit of a payoff for us as the fans, right? When the players are just like reiterating what we think they believe. Like JT, Devers, Kenley, Pedroia, Papelbon, Teoscar. Like, it's all these guys are saying the same thing, basically, which is like, yeah, they're not committed at all to winning. And even though I wanted to be there, they didn't give me a real offer, so I'm not there.
Yeah, and it also further distances us from ownership, because those players are usually saying similar things, which is like, I love the park. I love the city. Passionate fans. I love the atmosphere there. They, ownership in the front office, just didn't give me enough money. So it's
like diminishing our value. Ownership is diminishing our value as the fan base to what we can have on a player.
It's wild. It's like a player gets up there and like is like looking us right in the eyes as fans and saying, I would have loved to play for you because you make baseball so fun. I would have loved to play nowhere else than in your backyard. Unfortunately, that guy John that you guys got,
your dad John sucks. I hate him.
Sorry, otherwise I'd be there. And yeah, you just got to go home and stomp your feet and be like, I hate my dad.
Mm. It's true. Yeah. You got any bench, Joe? That was all the bench I had. Bogey, yeah. Switching to second base. I couldn't act like I was all, woo, oh my God, that's great. Whatever. I don't care. I know it's year two. Whatever. He's moving over to second. Who cares?
Devers seemed to care, and Xander seemed to care. He talked a little bit about talking to him about it. I thought that was funny. My bench. I got one piece of bench. The pants are see-through. You can see through the pants. The pants, you can see right through them. Yeah, you can see right through the pants. They put the
that's
pants.
My closing
the guy
thought.
Well, sorry, I'm jacking it. Whoops. No, I'm not. I'm
you can
stealing.
See through
it.
The pants. You can see through them. See through the pants.
Right, straight through the pants. I like that it happened all on one day. So it seems like the jerseys got there first. The pants got there later. Because up to this point, I couldn't see through the pants. And then they put them on. Like today, everybody put them on like today, and the fans were like, we can see through the pants. And now so the players are already so pissed about the jerseys, and rightfully so. They look terrible. I hear they feel terrible. The stitching quality and embroidering, it's all terrible. To add to the list, you can see through the pants is insane. Do not wear those pants. Don't wear them. Wear last year's pants. Do not make those guys go out. Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto are posing for a picture. And they're like, wow, the billion-dollar boys. The billion-dollar imports. Check them out on the West Coast this summer. You can see their undies. Are we crazy? Are we crazy? We're not going to make those guys wear those pants, right? They're going to have to do something about that. The jerseys, I understand, that's like an aesthetic thing. You can't expect those guys to actually wear those pants.
Yeah. Dude, it's bad. It is very bad. I had heard from one player that does the Major League Baseball saying they're absolute trash and they're extremely uncomfortable. And this is kind of what everyone is saying.
That was about the jerseys, right?
About the jerseys, yeah. So now we're going to have another round for the pants. And that's going to be like, by the way, these pants suck too. And you can just see everything that's going on down there. It is absurd that they messed up this bad.
Yeah. It's
impressive. Like, you already messed up catastrophically with the jerseys. And I was texting you last night that, not that I like the jerseys, but I, you know, when you see something long enough, you just get used to it. I'm hating myself because I'm already getting used to the jerseys that suck. I'm already getting used to the shitty jerseys. Like, that's what they're doing to us. So the biggest thing, if I were to tweak one thing, though, Joe, and you might disagree with this, for the pants, the name, the you know, whatever, hot pressed on letter, it might be how much I hate the MLB logo being below the collar. It looks so dumb.
Bad.
If I could change one thing back, I think it's the MLB logo back up to go further back up. Like, it's... I can't get over that. That looks so fake. It looks like such a fake jersey to have a weirdly placed MLB logo. That's what a DHgate jersey would be.
Exactly. I was going to say that's almost like a dead giveaway that it's a replica jersey. Not a replica.
Yeah,
a knockoff.
A fake jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ugly. Crazy. It's awful.
And I hate Manfred's such a clown. And there's no way he's going to be gone in 29. He's staying forever. I love that. He's only five more years. No, he's just going to stick around. Sneaking in, them acting like, oh, well, the players were very receptive to the All-Star jerseys last year. It's like, no player gives a damn what the All-Star jersey feels like. That whatever. You could give them any kind of jersey. They don't care. They don't wear those jerseys like it's, oh, okay, then this is my approval now for the rest of my career that we're going to wear jerseys like this. Also, those jerseys don't even look like these jerseys. I'm not buying it when they're saying we debuted these at the All-Star game. No, you didn't. Those looked way better than these. So that excuse doesn't even count. I think they're just trying to fish for some reason to get people off their back, and they pulled off the All-Star game thing. It's like, no, that's absolute garbage. So, yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad. It's funny, Joe, because I had never had a bad Fanatics experience. I heard a lot of NHL fans flipping out about stuff. Breaking news, I don't have a lot of NHL apparel. But now it's a classic, like, oh, okay, I see what y'all were upset about. This is what they do to the uniforms. And then they have the audacity to charge like $500 for these jerseys. Mm-hmm. Insane. And embarrassing, which is a word we've used a lot this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, Fanatics is a bad company, dude. They need to be investigated. It's bad. And it's also just bad for the overall direction of this game and all sports that if you can trim costs anywhere, they're going to do it. So the quality of things, even that the players
that
are
they
wearing
wear,
on
that's
field
crazy that they
down.
Wear on the field.
Insane.
How are you sacrificing that? It's one thing if it's the I remember growing up, I got a lot of like Majestic jerseys, the company Majestic. And you always knew it wasn't, I think like Russell Athletic or something was like the authentic. I think it was Russell Brand or whatever. You always knew the Majestic one wasn't the authentic one, and you knew the quality wasn't as good, but it was surely good enough for a fan. You also knew the players weren't wearing those jerseys. Like, sacrificing what the players are wearing is absurd. It's damaging. It's just like, it feels illegal.
It's such a bad look. And like I said, it just indicates a lot more bad things to come over the, you know, just in the game in general.
I already was getting used to the ads, dude. I didn't like the ads on the chair. And now you got this. It's like, if.
Yeah.
Anyway, fun offseason.
I'm starting to think these billionaires are a little too greedy.
I'm starting to think they don't care about us, Joe. Before, I thought they really cared about us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to think that they don't, and they just want to keep collecting more of our money for less of their care. I think that's where we're at.
At a certain point, this is political. Get ready for politics with ITM. At a certain point, the billionaires are just like they're. It's a game that has an end. You know what I mean? They're going to have all the money, and then what?
Because
like that, like if you're addicted to collecting other people's money, at a certain point, I'm going to run out, and you're going to have it all.
Yeah.
And then what? Then what's the game? Do you have to
take
aliens
money? I
think
the word's Monopoly. I think that's when we play Monopoly.
Yeah, that,
and
yeah.
that's how we
but
get money.
But the difference with Monopoly is the game ends, and then you go back to, you know, hating your brother or whatever you do afterwards. But like with the real world, it's just like then, you know, then people like die because they don't have the money.
Yeah, I think we're all just gonna die off, honestly. Yeah. So yeah.
There's worse fates.
Yep. So that'll do it. Episode 187 in the books. The first Red Sox game in 145 days is taking place on Friday against Northeastern Kid. Oh, that is a huge game. That is going to set the tone for this upcoming season. Follow us on the socials at @ITM_pod. Link is in the bio to get yourself some merch. And that's it. That's it, and that's all. For Joey Capone, I'm Steve Perrault. And Joey's got one more thing. What do you got, Joe?
I thought you were pausing for long enough that I could squeak it in. I was just going to say, buckle up for all the Northeastern tweets, for all the like, oh, the Sox can't beat a college team. Get ready for those, because those are coming.
Oh, they're coming.
Those are going to be good. So strap in.
Strap in, folks. For Joey Capone, I'm Steve Perrault. Go Sox, kid.